Welcome to the Awakened Parent Project, Conscious Conversations, Empowered Parenting, with me, Susan Dolce. It's time to open our hearts and our minds to what it means to be a parent, exploring and expanding the ways we communicate, validate, and show up daily for our kids. With a parent-centric focus, you learn to become more present, a better active listener, more reflective, more engaged, and mutually empowered. Parenting isn't about perfection. It's about presence, honesty, self-compassion, unconditional love, and conscious communication. The Awakened Parent Project starts now. Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Awakened Parent Project. I'm your host. I'm Susan Dolce. I'm a certified parent coach with the Jai Institute for Parenting, and it's my hope that you will find this a safe space to journey on a path of both practical and spiritual self-exploration. So before I introduce my guest today, I want to take a moment to update everybody about some changes happening with the show. I've been with Transformation Talk Radio for 2 years now. That was started with my first show, Three Things I've Learned. And then I shifted my focus to my passion, which is conscious parenting. And after a great deal of consideration and angst and heartfelt, maybe tears, there were some tears, I think, I've decided going forward to self-produce the show in order to allow for more flexibility in my schedule. There's going to be some big life changes coming up for me, and I just need to have some flexibility in that arena. So with that being said, I have a lot of thank yous. I have learned so much from everyone here at the network, and I'm so grateful for the support and the encouragement, especially from Dr. Pat and her executive producer, Linda Faring. They never allowed me to doubt myself. And it's because of them that I feel confident in my ability to do this on my own. I also want to thank all of the staff behind the scenes who actually get the show on the air, which is a big deal. It is a project. And that's Kim and Jessica and Olivia and Jacob and Benny and Jamie and William. You make it look so easy producing a live show when I know how complicated it really is. So thank you guys from the bottom of my heart. So I'm going to be taking a break for the summer to research more potential guests and focus on creating content that I hope you will love, so you want to keep listening. Be sure to check your favorite podcast platforms. That's hard to say. Podcast platforms in September for the return of season 2 of the Awakened Parent Project. Okay, I got through that without getting choked up. Okay, now on to the topic for today, which is how to cultivate spirituality in children. Today, my returning guest is Dr. Rosie Kuhn. Her book, Cultivating Spirituality in Children, 101 Ways to Make Every Child's Spirit Soar, Rosie Kuhn shares that sharing that raising spiritually grounded children is more about walking the talk instead of preaching. Dr. Rosie is the principal of the Paradigm Shifts Coaching Group, a boutique coaching firm which focuses on personal and spiritual development in oneself, in relationships, and in the workplace. She's considered a preeminent thought leader in the field of transformation. She's the author of 14 books in total, Self-Empowerment 101, Parent Like a Guru, which we talked about on this show, Aging Like a Guru, which we talked about on my other show with my buddy and co-host, Leon Dyer. And she has been training individuals to become transformational coaches since 2001. And she also has a couple of podcasts. She has Spiritual Immersion and Aging Like a Guru. So welcome back, Rosie. I'm so glad that you said yes to coming back to talk about this particular topic.
Thank you. This is a big deal, really.
This is a big deal. And you know, I feel part of the reason I'm so passionate about parent coaching and just being there for parents across the board is that I really feel that we are on a cusp of in a change in civilization. And maybe this sounds very dramatic, but I believe that there is a generation of change makers coming into the world, and they're here to. We don't know what they're going to do. Maybe they're going to save the climate. But we know that these children, I think, are coming in much more self-aware, much more spiritually aligned. And that's why I really wanted to talk to you about this book. So what stirred you to write this book in the first place?
I wrote this book and I have a copy here. We'll see if it comes up. Nope. I don't know.
Kind of. Yep. Oh. Sure.
That's my grandson, actually, which is really fun. Sorry.
Oh, I didn't know that was actually him. He's adorable. Yeah. I'm sure that was a while ago.
Yeah, he's 11 and a half now. So that was a long time ago. I guess if I could do that, then you can kind of see him.
Yeah.
Anyway, so when my daughter was pregnant with Andrew, and, you know, I've been studying, he was born in 2009 or 2011, I think, 2011. I'd been studying and working with spirituality for a long time. And, you know, it was like my daughter said, you know, Andrew was going to be coming into the world. And it was like, all right, now I get to do something with all this spiritual knowledge and all this spiritual stuff. And I'm going to tell him how to do this. And I'm going to tell him what to do and how to, what to think about and how to see God and all of those things. And so I had all this, you know, excitement about what I was going to share with Andrew. And, you know, I can see myself outside walking in the woods where I live as I'm having these conversations with Andrew. And then at one moment I went, wait a second. Like it was like, I stopped. And it was like, what if he doesn't want to know what I have to say? What if what I'm saying isn't aligned to his knowing? What if my daughter and her husband aren't interested in me teaching or preaching what I think is important for children? You know, what if all of that's true? Now, what do I do with all of this information that I have? And it was like, the only thing I can do is actually walk my talk. All I can do is actually be a model, a role model for what's my highest truth, my highest knowing, my highest good. And in that way, that will be how that lessons or those lessons might get put across. Mm-hmm. So that's how I got to write the book. I started with this book and, you know, is a lot of discernment because it's like, how do you model that? How do you model when you're upset or angry or confused or you don't know or you're anxious about reality and all? How do you do that? How do you be that? And so that your children can feel safe and they can trust and respect you as you're in this whatever and you're helping them understand this process at the same time. So I started out by doing this book and then it was like, this is pretty intense book. Maybe I need to do something that would be a little bit easier for parents to read. So I created the Parent Like a Guru mini videos. And if people go on my website or on YouTube, they can see these little videos for that are like 2 minutes or 3 minutes long and a blog that goes along with them. So that was where I went because I thought this is really intense for parents. And so if they needed something more simple on a daily basis, then I created this vlog thing that people could sign up for and get on a daily basis. So that's the story is I have a grandson and I really wanted to impart my wisdom and experience. And at the same time, what if they don't want to listen or hear it? So that's the challenge. So walking your talk is the only way that you can really do it, I believe.
Well, and I'm, you know, what you said about your taking into consideration what your daughter and her partner, how they feel about sharing your wisdom or your knowledge or your experiences, you know, because I really think that's something that I'm not a grandma yet, but when I can see myself having to kind of put myself in check like that. Mm-hmm. And that leads me to the next question, which is, you know, we brought up our children in the Catholic faith, but as sort of like a bedrock to start on, like just something like, where do you start when you've got little children and you want to talk about God and you want to talk about Jesus and you want to talk about your religion? But then I also had a very, very spiritual background that I kind of tried to interweave into that. So my question is, why spirituality and not religion? Like, why do it? Yeah, because the book is fascinating. This is a great read. You're such a great storyteller. I'm going to need some water here in a second. But you also had a Catholic upbringing.
I did have a Catholic upbringing. And I would say it was dogmatic and it was rule-based and it was mistake and wrong and shame-based and guilt-based. And very, very little of it do I, when I sort of try to take the threads apart to say, where was the spirituality in there? Where was I cultivating my relationship with the divine personally? And it wasn't there. Mm-hmm. And so even in part of writing this book was, what is spirituality? And how is it unique or different from religion? And spirituality for me is how we come to know and be in relationship with our own divine self. And we can't be told that how to do that by anybody. We just have to grow that capacity. And so I did not get that kind of upbringing through my Catholic religion. For me, there was a lot, from my perspective, it was a lot of dogma, and it was a lot of, here's what you do and here's what you don't do. And it didn't have any place. Even I was thinking about this because of our conversation. It was like when I was 16 or so, and it was like, why do I have to go talk to a priest when I want to talk to God? Why can't I just talk to God directly? And that, like, that wasn't allowed, you know, and I have these sins and I have to go to confession. I have to go to confession. I don't have anything that I have to confess. I'm okay. I'm a good person, right?
Yeah.
But you're made to feel bad. You're made to feel like you're shamed. And if you don't have sin, then you're kind of lying or something. So all of that was part of my challenges with the particular religion I was raised in. And for me, if there's a fear-based element of what's being taught in a religion, it's not truly a spiritual enhancing experience, because when you're afraid, you can't go out, you can't think for yourself. You can't explore the capacities that we have for being connected to the divine with ourselves or in nature or however. We can't, because we're taught, no, you've got to stay within the confines of the religious teachings. So that's why it's important for me, you know, if people have that in their religion and their religion, and I know a lot of different places that their children's programs are so wonderful, where they enhance the capacity of the child to know themselves in relation to their divine self. That's awesome. That's a wonderful thing. But for me, hasn't been that. And it's also, how do you cultivate that conversation as a parent or a grandparent with your child outside of a church, outside of Friday, Saturday, Sunday, or whatever that is? How do you have those conversations? And that's, you know, that's been a really important part of this book as well, is how do we have those conversations? But we have to have those conversations with ourselves first so that we can have a better sense of that with our children.
Yeah. And I definitely struggled with that, like having them come home, because they all went to Catholic school. And them coming home with something that they were taught and me going, okay, well, you know, let's have a discussion about that. Like, it's not, you know, black and white. That's and trying to impart, you know, a deeper knowledge about what they're trying to teach. But, you know, that's obvious. That's a whole nother bag of worms, a whole nother Pandora's box. We're going to take a quick break. We come back. I want to know, like, I want to understand, because I know how I would use it, how you see people using the book, because I've got some ideas. Okay. We're going to take a quick break. You're listening to the Awakened Parent Project, and we'll be back in a little bit.
Are limitations holding you back from living a powerful and authentic life? Are you able to see yourself and others through a lens of empathy and compassion? Tune into Awaken Your Truth with me, Ritika Rose, to discover how to free your mind, heal your life, and embody your power. Second and fourth Thursdays at 9 a.m. Pacific on Transformation Talk Radio, YouTube, and across all podcast stations. I'm on a mission to inspire a shift in you, so together we can collectively heal the world. To learn more about me, visit RitikaRose.com.
stuck in that someday attitude, living the same day over and over again with no action? The Becoming You Show, big ideas that inspire, impact, and influence your life with Leah Rowling is for you. Tune in every Friday at 11 a.m. Central on TransformationTalkRadio.com. This show will have you feeling inspired to take action with purpose and intention. For more information and to get in touch with me, visit www.leahrowling.com.
There isn't a magic pill to creating your healthy lifestyle, yet it doesn't have to be hard or feel impossible. Health works from the inside out, connecting both your body and your mind. Georgette LePage lives and breathes what she teaches, so allow her to be living proof of what can work for you. Connect with her now for a free 30-minute discovery session to see what results you are looking for and how she can help you get them. Visit GeorgetteLePage.com.
Your own innate brilliance already lives inside of you. Come discover it so you can shine brightly in this world. Join me, your host, Adrienne Cobb, Wednesdays at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. Eastern, during My Wild Magic on TransformationTalkRadio.com and get answers to who you are and where you belong. To learn more about me and the show, visit MyWildMagic.com. Again, that's MyWildMagic.com.
Not just talk, conversation for profound self-awareness. Stick with us. Your best life awaits on TransformationTalkRadio.com. What did you say your name was?
Welcome back. I'm Susan Dolce. Today, I am with Dr. Rosie Kuhn. We are talking about how to cultivate spirituality in children. Before we get on to the whole host of more questions that I have to ask you, where can people find you, Rosie?
People can find me on my website, which is called theparadigmshifts.com, theparadigmshifts.com. You can Google me. That's the easiest way, Dr. Rosie Kuhn, K-U-H-N. And you just Google me. I have probably 300 YouTube videos on a lot on spirituality, parenting, recovery, all kinds of things, business. So lots of YouTube videos. And I'm creating, there's a boot camp for self-transformation that's on YouTube. And I'm working on some master courses for transformational coaches. I'm going to have those up a couple months from now. So. But so Paradigm Shifts is a good place to find me. Yeah. So stay tuned. Yes.
Yes. Okay. So what I think is different about this book, well, first of all, as I opened, you're talking about walking your talk. And so what you give us is like 101, I don't want to say prompts, but well, maybe it's prompts. Things in our lives to consider, and they come in categories, and we're going to talk about that towards the end. But like, I read the book from cover to cover, all 101, and I there were so many experiences that you put in there, your own personal experiences, where I'm like, yep, I remember doing that. Yep, I remember doing that. Because one of the things that, and I say it in the opening of the show, is what kids want is our presence. And you talk about that again and again and again. And so how does that experience of being present with your grandchild come into teaching spirituality?
It's a great question. One of the things that moments in my relationship with him, they live in Canada, and I don't actually see them as much as I wanted to hope that I would be part of their life in a different way. But when Andrew was four, he spent 5 days with me while his mom was working in Seattle. And so we had this wonderful time together, and somehow I was driving him back to Seattle to meet with his mom so they could go home. And I said something like, we were talking about his other grandparents and did he loves them, kind of thing. And I said something about loving me, and he says, I don't love you, Granny. I like you. You're kind. And it was like, what? You know, what? And it was just one of those moments that you just know that's one of those moments where the kindness of my being, it was, you know, this 4-year-old is saying this to me, you know, and it's like, or maybe he was 5, but still it's like, that's like crazy making on my head. And so that stayed with me the whole time. So how we be that kindness, I mean, I was just being me and we just were doing what we're doing, but in that there was this ability for him to articulate how I be in the world, which is this kind. So when we are present to our children, they're a kindness. I mean, Dalai Lama talks about this, that kindness is like the best thing you can do. If no other spiritual practice, practice kindness. And what does that mean? It means presence. It means a listening for who is in front of us, what is in front of us. One psychologist, I don't know her name, but it's just, she said the most clear thing, people want to be seen, heard, and gotten. And when we see, hear, and get our kids, they respect us, they honor us, they enjoy our company because they know they're it's safe and that they're not being judged. Mm-hmm. And this has been a challenge where what I've had with my own daughter, and she's 47 now, is I didn't even realize the degree to which I wasn't getting her or seeing her. And it took some real challenging, conflicting challenges, experiences for me to go, what am I thinking? What am I hearing? And where I wanted to be an advocate, I was actually very adversarial. And these are two words that really are important for us. Are we being an advocate for love and kindness and presence with our kids? Or are we adversarial? You know, get your homework done, go clean your room up, you know, get to bed early or whatever those are, versus this place of presence where it's like, hey, how's it going? You know, what's happening for you?
Do you think that's easy? I mean, because I tried to practice this stuff a lot when my kids were little. Yeah. So I was trying to do it in the moment. That's very hard when you're in it. Like, I think, you know, I was going to say, is it easier as a grandparent to, now that you've had this life experience, you've gained all this wisdom, you've had these conflicts in relationships and learned how to fix them or heal them. You've learned all of these things about yourself that you've been able to transform. And I'm getting a little tongue tied here. I could see that it would be so much easier as a grandma to be present and do all that when you know it, because like when you're in the moment, like this is what we coach parents on in our program, is like understanding what your triggers are, understanding how to self-regulate and co-regulate with your child, because when you're in it, you can't, it's so hard to access those parts of yourself.
Yes, that's true. It's really hard. And the best that we can do is just be as present as we can be and not beat ourselves up and not make ourselves wrong. And just say, you know, tomorrow is another day. It's, you know, the courage to be present today, and I'll start tomorrow and see how present I can be. And, you know, I have a lot of challenges with my children and I don't know my grandson very well, really. And so how I be with him is really a little, it's awkward. Uh-huh. I don't. You know, that moment was what I mentioned, like when he was 4 or 5, that was a long time ago, and who he is and what he does and how he participates in life. You know, if I spend some time with him, it's like awkward because he's busy and he's doing things and I'm just fitting in. Uh-huh. And there's not necessarily that place of presence as I would like, you know, the grandma sitting on the porch swing with your child and picking strawberries or whatever. It's not like that because of the busyness of his schedule and the dynamics and who he is and who I am. So it's really about, again, letting go of my attachments to my role as a parent or my desires as a grandparent. And I want this closeness and this engagement and this belonging. And it's not there the way that I imagined it. And so much like you're saying, being aware of what are my intentions, what are my graspings, what are my desires, you know, it's like, I got to put those aside so I can just show up and say, hey, I'm just this individual. You happen to call me Granny, but everything else is up for grabs, right? So really, truly, and we call ourselves, or they call us, whatever they call us, grandma, grandpa, or mom and dad. But it's still the relationship. It's not like, I think because I'm a grandma that I'm entitled to, or because I'm a parent, mm-hmm. mom, I'm entitled to that belonging with my daughter.
Right.
And this is part of the dilemmas of parenting is we go, wait, I'm your mom. And we're supposed to go shopping together and go have these wonderful times together. That's not happening. Like, wait, what's wrong? You know, that kind of stuff rather than going, okay. And that's why I love this book, because it's like, okay, somewhere in here, there's some wisdom that tells me to just calm down and really look at what I'm about here. And what are my intentions in honoring this human being in front of me, to see her, get her, hear her.
Because like yes, all of that is great stuff. And what I'm thinking about, like if I were a parent, if I were, you know, if I had a small child or younger children or whatever, and I'm reading your book, I kind of see it as the thing where, what am I struggling with today? Let me go to the back. And we're going to talk about that towards the end. And see what I need to consider about triggers or abundance and it's almost like, you know, like I have it on my Kindle, but if I actually had the hardcover, it'd be like, let's open it to, you know, like flip through the pages and see what I need to hear today. Yes. To grow spiritually and take some personal inventory.
Yeah.
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 I should get the hardcover. I'm going to have to get the hardcover so I can give it to each of my children. And so they've got it.
The challenge is really, and the point of the book for me was to be reflective in myself about what is it that's the highest intention that I'm wanting my children to get for them. And, you know, I have my, you know, I want to be a mom and I want to be a good mom and all those identifiers for myself. But what is it that I'm really here to steward my children through?
That's the perfect word.
Yeah.
And we're going to talk about that. We're going to take a break. We're going to talk more about stewarding our children, because I've got a whole other concept that I'm sure you will agree with, because I think we've talked about it before, and that's pre-birth contracts. I'm very curious how you feel about that. We're going to take another break. You're listening to the Awakened Parent Project, and we'll be right back.
You're driven, and it totally shows. Your career is taking off. You're killing it in the mom game. But did your health needs make it on the plate this week? Tune in to Boss Up Babes, where Carissa Adkins helps babes show up, boss up, and thrive every second and fourth Tuesday at 12:30 p.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Become the boss babe you were meant to be. To sign up for one of Carissa's group coaching programs, visit 365DailyHustle.com.
Tune in to the Be Happy Now show with me, Claudia Sam. Flex your soul connection muscle and be your inner guide to fulfillment. Every Thursday on TransformationTalkRadio.com. You are here for a bigger reason and are worthy of accessing it. Experience happiness now. Tune in to your intuition and connect with me. Visit ClaudiaSamCoaching.com.
Take us with you on your morning commute. Download your favorite shows and listen anytime. Just visit TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Take control over your future. I'm Lisa Belts, and I'm here to help you realize your true potential and become unshakable. Schedule a completely free introductory coaching session with me now to see for yourself how I work. Get the divine guidance that you need to transform your life for the better. Go to lisabelts.com and take that step towards transformation. That's LYSABELTZ.com.
Not just talk, conversation for profound self-awareness. Stick with us. Your best life awaits on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Welcome back. I am talking with Dr. Rosie Kuhn today. We're talking about how to cultivate spirituality in children. It's a fabulous book, Cultivating Spirituality in Children, 101 Ways to Make Every Child's Spirit Soar is her book. And before the break, I posed a question about pre-birth contracts. And I am a staunch believer that we have a spiritual contract with our children long before they, incarnate, and that there are lessons that, that they pick us. I believe it's mutual, but there are lessons that we're both supposed to learn from this relationship. And so with that being, well, how do you feel about that to begin with? And then I'll go on to my next question.
I totally agree.
Yeah. Have you seen any like presence of it? Have you seen like, oh my gosh, this is totally, like an awareness of that contract sort of, cause I have just, you ever had an experience where like, oh wow, that's why she's my kid.
So the brief story is that, I was a non-custodial parent. So when my children were 3 years old and 14 months old, and I was separating from my husband, who had a lot of wealth and stability and security, it made sense for them to stay with him where they could sleep in their own beds. And I needed to go get an education and grow myself up so that I could then be able to take care of them. So I became a non-custodial parent. Mm-hmm. And my intention all along was they would come live with me. And due to circumstances as they unfold, that never happened. So then I become, in their mind, somebody that abandoned them. Mm. When in my own truth, that was not my case at all. I wanted to be with them and I couldn't wait to have them come live with me, all that kind of stuff. Never happened. So the craziness of I wanted to be a mom so much, and then this is how I ended up being a mom as a non-custodial. And what that did to her, because I'm thinking I'm in love with my children and I'm thinking I'm doing the most loving thing in the world. Mm-hmm. And someone, a psychologist, said to me, Rosie, if you ran in front of a bus to protect your kids, people would say you're a hero. You did this to protect your kids and you're like the worst person in the world. Okay. Yeah. And so my children have to deal with that challenge of having a mom that wasn't around. Mm-hmm. And so even I'm now 70, so 40, we'll say 43 years after the fact, we're still learning from that decision. And my son decided he doesn't want to talk to me anymore. So for mm-hmm. the last 10 years, he hasn't talked to me. But it's like, oh, if I hadn't done that, if I hadn't done that, they would still have the lessons to learn. They would still have to deal with the same lessons that are showing up because of our agreement.
Right.
And the insanity of that for anybody, any parent who is going through, giving their children up for adoption or becoming a non-custodial parent, as many men have to do that. When children get diseases, all of those things that are these elementarily contracted relationships that says we're going to go through this together is it's insane, and the craziness of how could that be so? But as you're moving through it, even it's like, oh, well, this will be, you know, I'll get through this. And I didn't even realize the degree that I was in denial of my own loss, right?
Yeah.
Or my own lessons of where am I still attached to my daughter being somebody I need her to be for me. That's something that every parent goes through. Most parents go through because we want our children to give us what we thought we wanted. That's why we had parents and we had children. So yes, all of that.
Yeah. One of the most important things to me, I remember being pregnant with my first. She just turned 28 on Sunday. shout out to Juliana. Was just this overwhelming feeling that the depth of the importance of being her mom, and not in the in a spiritual sense.
Yes.
Like and always trying to keep that in perspective, that you know, she's not my mini me. You know, I'm here to, you know, find out, you know, who she is going to be and help get her to her most authentic expression of herself. And just being nearly terrified of that idea.
Sure.
But I've also learned that that is also my saving grace when we're in some sort of crisis or conflict is, okay, what's the lesson here? What am I learning? I can't go in and rescue her. You know, they have to figure this out on their own. When you want to have that mom response and you want to go in and you want to save and you want to fix and you're like, I can't.
Yeah.
Because what is her lesson?
And
discerning when you save or you assist and when you don't. It's just like, yeah. I always say, it's like when they're toddlers and they're learning how to walk, you don't pick them up every time they fall, right? So I try to incorporate that in my coaching too, is like, hey, you know, if you believe this to be true, when you're in those moments, like that, you're feeling like you're losing it, it's to take a step back and go, okay, what's really going on here? You know, identifying your own triggers,
right.
and then just like, what's the lesson? What am I not getting? Right.
That's right.
So the next thing I want to ask you is like, and you talk about it a lot in several of the experiences, and that's surrendering in parenthood. Talk to me about that.
Well, I think the most important thing is to see what you're holding on to. What are you attached to? Well, I want my kids to get in the best schools. I want my kids to be great athletes. I want my kids, you know, because all of that is a reflection of me. Mm-hmm. I want to look like I was a good parent. And it's like, if that's getting in the way of my relationship with my kids and what they're doing and what they want to do and how they want to be the expression in the world, then I got to look at that. I'm attached to this and this and this and this.
Yeah.
And if, as long as I'm attached to that, I can't be present to them. Because I'm attached to my interpretation. They're like right here.
Yeah.
And it's like, I can't see my kids as who they are in their own unique divine expression if I'm always wanting them to look like and respond to me the way that I want them to. And I'm, like I said, I'm still having that challenge with my daughter who's 47. It's like, I'm still attached to, but I'm your mom and I did all of this so that you could, you know, and she doesn't get it. Her life is different. Her orientation is different. So I have to surrender my identity and my attachments and say, yeah, she had a different life and she had a different orientation. She had a different interpretation because she's a unique human being.
Mm-hmm.
And so she has a way of seeing the world that's different than I do. And the more that I can own that, I am much more relaxed. And now I can be much more present to who she is rather than going, wait, you're not wanting to spend time with me or you're not including me in this and you're not all the you-nots, right?
Right, right.
There I become adversarial that she should do it different. And as soon as we have a you should do it different, we're not seeing her in her own authentic expression or him, our children. We're seeing them based on our rules, our dogma for what
right.
this should look like. And, you know, my agreement was to have children, have them in a sense, my agreement. And, you know, then the steward element versus the belonging and the engaged and I own them and they are, you know, I'm entitled to or what all that stuff, as opposed to saying, no, I'm here to guide and support in the best way that I can. And I can't make sense of that, you know, because I'm sure some of your audience are saying, what is it? What are you talking about? You left your children. What kind of, how can you write a book about all of this if you left your, and it's like, yeah, I totally get. It's crazy and insane. But no person who has had a child and given them up for adoption or whatever, or lost them in an accident or through health problems, no one is, every one of us continues to be a parent in that relationship to that child until death do us part, truly.
Yeah.
I would suspect you believe that too.
Yeah, and absolutely.
My relationship with, I never stopped being a mom, you know, and my daughter would say something like, well, you were not around. It's like, I never stopped thinking of you with me every moment of my life, you know, my rooms, my houses, wherever I lived, it was always there for them to be. So I never stopped being a mom, right?
Uh-huh.
But my attachment to how I be in that with myself is what this is about for every single one of us. Uh-huh. And, you know, people who say, oh, when are you going to have your children so I can be a grandma? That's not about the child. That's not about the well-being of the child. That's like, I want to be that grandparent. I want to, it's like, that's about me. And the more that we see that and how it gets in the way of our relationships with our children and our grandchildren, we go, yeah, that's just my ego talking.
Yeah.
I'm not a good person to be around when I'm like that, because it's all about me.
Did you, I'm just going to go off on a sidebar, speaking of grandchildren and expectations. Did you read that article that there's a couple, they're not grandparents yet. They want to be grandparents in India, and they're suing their son and daughter-in-law for like the tune of $675,000 to produce a grandchild within a year. They have to pay the money or they have to give them a grandchild. I was like, my husband and I were talking about this yesterday. I was like, what? Who? That means the grandchild has a price? Like, I'm so confused by this. But people, I mean, expectations are the downfall of all things. One of my favorite teachers, Leonard Jacobson, says that true freedom is, oh, I'm going to screw it up because I haven't said it in so long, is asking for what you want lovingly without attachment to the outcome. Okay. And I have learned, I mean, I think that is one of my biggest life lessons is it's a constant letting go. It's a constant surrendering to to whatever mystery that, especially as a parent, like, I don't know what my kids are here to do. I'm just like you, I love your word steward. I'm just here to steward them through the journey and just trust that I have given them a foundation that we, my husband and I, have given them a foundation to grow on, and that they know that we're here for them.
Yeah. I think if we can create a sense of safety.
Yeah.
And again, that's, everyone has their own unique experience of what that is. If you ask my mom and dad, you know, was it a safe place where I grew up? In some ways it was, you know, the environment was very safe, but the home life was not safe. But they probably would argue with me because of, they gave us everything they could to make us feel safe. So you can only do what you do, and what any one of us is left with is our own work personally. Like, being a kid, I've got 8 brothers and sisters. We all, you know, have the same story and all blah, blah, blah about, and we all have to find our own sense of safety and how we find that for our own self.
Mm-hmm.
We can attempt to do that as parents, but our children are going to go, yeah, no, you screwed up. It's like, what do you mean I screwed up? I was the best parent I knew how to be. Yeah, but you didn't do it right. It's like, okay.
Well, and the thing is, if it's not you, it's going to be somebody else.
Exactly.
It's going to be their safety is going to be challenged for them to do the work, because it's going to be a coach or, yeah, or an aunt or an uncle or a teacher or, yeah.
If I had stayed the custodial parent and their father left, they'd still have the same issues if somebody abandoned them,
mm-hmm,
generally speaking, because that's what we do until we figure it out. Right.
Yeah.
It'll be a, like you say, a coach or a teacher or a friend or someone who is going to challenge us.
Yeah.
And it's very difficult because we don't have all the answers to how to create that. There's no perfect, no perfect scenario where a person is going to go through their whole life without the challenges, because we came here for the challenges.
Right.
And these agreements to be in agreement, the agreement that, okay, we're going to be in this challenge and we don't know the outcome.
Right. So. We're going to take one last break. I'm talking with Rosie Kuhn today. We're talking about cultivating spirituality in children. I have to slow down when I say that.
Consider follow through in five stages. First, the vision. Describe the goal and strategy. Second, feasibility. Find out if there are constraints. Third, planning. Lay out a plan and a timetable with target dates. Fourth, action. Do the steps required to get to the finish line. And fifth, completion. Tie up any loose ends. Most people are more comfortable with either planning or doing. Strong planners may hyper-focus on planning and never get to the action. Impatient doers jump straight into action, but can get derailed if they didn't plan for contingencies. Realizing your tendencies, you can determine where your follow-through falls short. Learn the strategies that will keep you on track in my podcast, ADHD Self-Mastery, Customized Strategies for Your Unique Brain.
Heaven on Earth, your online school of divinity, building your inner coach as you lay down your foundation in the new earth with you as the authority. Take action now. The number one challenge people face every day is the negative voice in their head. We work each day to turn negatives into positives. It's all a matter of perception. Our challenge at this time is to remain intensely positive and focused, creating the world we wish to live in. Wake up on purpose with Cornelia's daily online positive messages guiding us in the new paradigm. Raise yourself into happiness and inner peace daily. Elevate your personal frequency, free from negativity, and reprogram yourself step by step, shifting your energy patterns with positive repetition, daily building your new earth with someone you trust. All the heavy lifting has been done for you. Wake up happy with CorneliaStephanieVIP.com. Try free for 7 days now.
Learn how to lead a happier life on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Awakened Parent Project. Today, I am joined by Dr. Rosie Kuhn. We are talking about kids and spirituality, and she's written us a fabulous book. She's written several books. I recommend Parenting Like a Guru for this particular audience. Also great. And this is an easy read, I think, but I get what you're saying. This is a deep dive, and it's because it's 101 experiences, 101 ways. So I've said earlier in the show that if I had the hardcover, which I'm now going to buy, and I think I'm just going to keep them on hand, I think they should be baby shower gifts, that if I were in a moment that I would flip to it, and because each experience is a paragraph or like a couple of pages. So it's kind of bite-sized, but it dives deep into the experience. What was your vision when you built it, when you wrote it that way? Did you have a vision of how people could use it?
All of my writing is basically for me. So it's like, what do I need to experience?
Oh, how selfish.
If I don't get the value of it, then no, you know, it's not going to have any appeal, I think. And whether there's an audience for it doesn't matter. It's like, I'm going to have a grandson and I got to figure this out, how I'm going to be present to this. So as I'm looking at the pages, I realized that the every experience, there's 101 experiences that we're cultivating within ourselves. Each experience starts with opening to. So the opening up of ourselves to something else is the challenge. So it's like, where's my resistance? Where am I unwilling or unrelenting in my? So I it's if you have the hard copy, just opening it up. In fact, I had a client this morning, and after our talk, I started looking at this, have our conversation. And there was like, oh my God, we just talked about this. So I photographed it and sent it to her and because I just opened it up. So that's really always valuable to do that. And like you said, Susan, in the back, there's a list of experiences. And if there's something here that you want to look at specifically, like authenticity or transparency or commitment or compassion or discipline, they're all listed here and you can go directly to that. So either, however a person uses a book like this, it's all very personal. Mm-hmm. I love this book but it really was a personal journey, as each of my books are a personal journey to how do I get there to that place of being that role model, if you will, being that steward without attachments.
Right.
So that's, I think book writing or journaling for a person is a really awesome way to discover that unfolding, that opening up. And especially when there's like, where am I relentless in my attachments? And
I think each one is in kind of like a journal prompt in and of itself, where, you explore where you are struggling or you're resistant or attached. And that's sort of the way I saw it, is that I think this would be a great sort of like mommy group thing to do, is to, do each one and go through them and explore, because I'm just thinking how does this reach the parents while they're in the throes of parenting?
Yeah.
Versus like, going back now and having, some perspective and looking back on it and reflecting and say, now I've learned this. But when you're in it, and your kid is, you were an athlete and your kid wants to be a mathlete and you're like, but that's not what we do. We're not that family, like you said, and all of the stuff that all the baggage that comes around that. And
to stay, again, that aligning with what's your highest truth, your highest knowing, and your highest contribution to your children. If we don't keep that in mind, then we get caught in the attachments and we get caught in the minutiae of what should be and what shouldn't, and what those people are doing, what the neighbors are, how are they? And we lose alignment with our own commitment, like what you felt with your daughter, to say, I am in alignment with this being in this way, and I'm going to stay aligned. And I think if whatever it is, if it's this book or Parent Like a Guru is a great fun book as well, but with the same messages. But until we get aligned with what's the message I need to keep in front of me every day, so to keep me in that alignment with presence, keep me in alignment with getting my children, rather than going, yeah, but you're not. As soon as I say that, they're gone.
Yeah.
It's me and my alignment with my own truth and my own desire to be an advocate for that love, versus the adversary trying to get something that somebody isn't going to give me if I don't, fight for it or whatever.
Yeah. I highlighted a whole bunch of notes in my Kindle, and quite beefy ones, but this one stuck out to me because I love now, I just learned how to print out my notes. I was telling Rosie that during the break. So now I'm so excited because that's one of the things I don't like about Kindle, but I have learned. But this, Kindle's different. It says location 406, so it's not a page. But it says, I'm quoting you, it is no secret that the level of consciousness now accessible actually empowers us to cease and desist creating trauma in our children, in ourselves, and in the world. We are beginning to understand that it is no longer necessary to break down in order to break through.
Nice.
You wrote that.
That's amazing.
But I mean, I'm, in the work that I do and why I'm so passionate about this is that if we can look at parenting as being an awakening for ourselves.
Beautiful.
And an awakening, you know, our children, awakening their authentic expression within them, then I think it shifts the whole parenting paradigm on its head. And it's now we are collaborating to be everybody's best self.
That's right.
And to bring just love and kindness and
that's right
to the world. Yeah.
And whether it's my books or listening to your podcasts and what you're bringing through, is that there is so much more support to empower ourselves to look at what we went through as children and how what we have to get over so that we don't have to traumatize ourselves or our children anymore.
Right.
And
right.
There's so much more support. It takes courage. It takes intention. And we can say, oh, I'm too busy because I got a job and I've got this and that. But it's like we can stay intentional even when we're busy to stay aligned with our knowing.
Yeah.
Our knowing and that place of here's what I am here to do with my child. And we do the best we can. And who knows the outcome? Like I said, I wanted to be a mom my whole life. And then I end up having to be a non-custodial mom. It's like, it's not what I planned, but somehow in the great scheme of things, I was probably a much better mom to them in ways that we don't even know yet. Right. Oh. We don't know. And we have to surrender to that as well.
And it's a constant surrendering. And thank you. Thank you again, Dr. Rosie, for being on the show. Hopefully I can have you on again because we just have such a great conversation. You're just so wonderful to talk to.
Thank you. I'm happy to come back.
All right, everybody. As I always say, parenting isn't about perfection. What do I say? It's about allowing your children to be your awakening, like I just said.
So beautiful. So,
thank you. Thanks for listening, everybody. And I'll see you back in September.
Welcome to the Awakened Parent Project, Conscious Conversations, Empowered Parenting with me, Susan Dolce. It's time to open our hearts and our minds to what it means to be a parent, exploring and expanding the ways we communicate, validate, and show up daily for our kids. With a parent-centric focus, you learn to become more present, a better active listener, more reflective, more engaged, and mutually empowered. Parenting isn't about perfection. It's about presence, honesty, self-compassion, unconditional love, and conscious communication. The Awakened Parent Project starts now.
Views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and do not necessarily reflect the views of the station, its management, or advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.